We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Heyo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000 when you sign up. Welcome into our West Loop Studios, the CHGO West Loop Studios. Happy 1 month anniversary to CHGO.
Yes, indeed.
Month ago last month, it was the first inaugural day of CHGO. So we're excited to be bringing you another month of content. Thank you to everyone who has supported us so far. I am the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast, Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Let's meet the rest of the crew. We got Vinny Duber, the CHGO White Sox beat writer over there. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. And the man in the middle, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He is the CHGO White Sox community leader, and we're excited to talk to you today about Lance Lynn's, well, we're not excited to talk to you about Lance Lynn's injury, but we're excited to talk to you today. We will be talking about Lance Lynn's injury. We'll be talking about possible replacements for Lance Lynn in the rotation. We'll also be talking about Zach Collins and Reese McGuire. A swap of catchers happened between Toronto and Chicago. We'll break down that trade. And then finally, it's the Monday mailbag. If you are an all-CHGO member, you can go into the CHGO Lounge. We have a Discord channel there for White Sox stuff only. We took questions for today's Monday mailbag, and we'll be answering your questions on today's CHGO White Sox podcast. It is Monday, April 4th, again, the month anniversary of CHGO. You can follow them at CHGO_sports. All right, Herb and Vinny, let's get into it. Lance Lynn hurt himself trying to plant on his leg during a spring training game this past weekend. Happened on Sunday, right?
Saturday.
News came out on Sunday that he was going to be out about 8 weeks with this injury. Got some more info today, but Herb, we'll start with you. Obviously, the Garrett Crochet injury happened on Thursday. We talked about it on Friday. And then today, we get the Lance Lynn injury news this weekend. And now we're here on Monday talking about the rotation being a man down. What's your immediate thoughts about Lance Lynn being out for the start of the season?
Not ideal. But if it had to happen, this is probably the best time, even though I'm a believer that every single game counts the exact same. The ones in April count as much as the ones in September. So, yes, not great. But I don't know. I mean, Lance Lynn, he was one of the three guys that we're counting on in the rotation. So it's kind of like, you know, bad news nowadays doesn't really affect me as much as it used to, because it's, you know, bad news with the White Sox, especially before the season starts, last year with Aloy, this year with Lance Lynn, of course. I'm just, like, done with, you know, bad stuff happening to my team. I'm looking forward to the offense carrying this team, because it might have to. We might have some 10-8 games out here, because two guys we got that are, we know that we're going to get some good efforts out of, and Giolito and Cease. The rest, Kopech's on a pitch count, really hasn't pitched a lot in spring training, only two innings so far. Velasquez is a question mark. Lopez, whatever guy they bring in, is always going to be a question mark. And with Garrett Crochet going out, that's another guy that possibly you could have had a starter to replace him, is gone. So, yeah, it's not great, but I'm not going to be down in the dumps about the White Sox season because Lance Lynn is going to be gone for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, down in the dumps makes more sense. At first, though, it did feel like you were suffering from a little bit of White Sox nihilism. Like, just, you know what? This always happens. Nothing matters. This is always what happens to the White Sox.
It's so, like, when I woke up on Saturday when it happens, like, oh, he's fine. He's, you know, doesn't like spring training too tough. He's probably just waiting for having those bullets in the regular season. Nope. When it came down that he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I was like, whatever, you know, whatever you think is the worst point, wait up. There might be something on the other side of the corner. It's just like last year, Aloy, and then it's Luis Robert. I hope that this is the worst that happens to the White Sox this year. I think they'll be in a good position if this is it.
Yeah, I wonder what is worse, Garrett Crochet being out for the entire season or Lance Lynn being out for the, you know, projected 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks or so. What do you think is the bigger blow, Vinny? Garrett Crochet or Lance Lynn?
Lance Lynn, big time. I mean, obviously, you hope that what Herb said, right, that he takes his recovery time and he gets back to where he needs to be, and then the White Sox, you know, their ideal situation is they've got him for not just the last 4 months of the regular season, but into October as well. Obviously, you're not going to have Crochet at all. But the way this roster is constructed, the bullpen's deep. The bullpen could kind of make up for Crochet being gone. It's funny, we talked, you know, I did a roster projection last Friday morning, and that thing has been torn to pieces since then. But I wrote in that, you know, talking about Crochet and Kimbrel, right? And then, woo, both those guys are gone. But still, you're looking at a very good bullpen that has Hendricks, that has Joe Kelly, Graveman, Bummer. We've talked about all those names. That is a bullpen that you still look at and you go, the Sox can count on that bullpen. The rotation has gone from 60%, you know, certainty and 40% question marks, but you hope things work out for the best, to 40% certainty, 60% question marks. And to me, that makes the rotation as a whole a question mark. And so that's, you can't have that because they had relative health last year in the rotation. Obviously, there was all that stuff with Rodon. Lynn and Giolito both went on the IL for brief stays in the second half there. But the rotation was pretty much healthy the whole year, and it was the best rotation in the American League until the playoffs came around. Now, you're hoping, if you're the White Sox, that you get a similar production from your starting staff. You got no Carlos Rodon. You're out Lance Lynn for 2 months for a third of the regular season. You are crossing your fingers hoping that Dallas Keuchel bounces back in a big way.
Right, and I've always referred to the three, Lynn, Giolito, and Cease, maybe sacrilegiously, as the Holy Trinity. Like, these are the guys that are, you know, supposedly golden. These are the guys that you are going to expect top-notch efforts out of in 2022. And now you look at the rotation, being down Lance Lynn to start the year, being down Carlos Rodon, you have arguably lost your two best pitchers from last year, your two best starting pitchers from last year. Herb, how does that make you feel? Because it makes me feel a little bit uneasy here. I'm not, you know, really loving how the White Sox are going to start off the season. Maybe they'll be able to make up for it, but at least starting in April, it does feel a little bit like a rocky road with the rotation.
Yeah, it's going to be very challenging for the White Sox, especially, I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, free agent market is tap dry. There's really not a person out there. You're like, okay, he's just been waiting on for a good deal to come, and now he's going to come into a rotation and dominate or just give you a good representative effort. There's not a guy out there that I see. It's like, okay, he's a definitely 100% guy that we can pick up, and he'll plug and play, and he'll be good. Like Mike Conforto on the offensive side, if we had a injury on the right field or somewhere in the lineup, that guy's still out there. There's no similar guy on the pitching staff. So, yeah, it's going to be hard for Ethan Katz to get these innings from the starters and then dole out all the innings you need for the bullpen. But as Vinny said, there's a 28-man roster. I don't know if they're going to go 14, 15 guys on that pitching staff. I would go 15 and then go less on the position players, like 12 or 13, and then just have guys like on that third start in Detroit. You know, Kopech is probably not going to go five.
Right.
Just have some guys ready to go because you're going to have to empty out the tank because you have an off day the next day. So I'm fine with that one, and you won't necessarily need a fifth starter until April 16th, I believe that is.
And, Herb, you're right, but this injury is not for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
This injury is 2 months. Right.
That's the problem.
And I think that, you know, we could go ahead and forecast when is this fifth starter going to be needed. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Reynaldo Lopez or Vince Velasquez that gets in there and takes that spot? But they're going to be filling in for a third of the regular season. I mean, listen, I think last year when we saw Jimenez go down, everybody freaked out because what are they going to do? This is the middle of their lineup hitter. Who's going to go out there? And then they say, oh, we'll put Andrew Vaughn out there. And you go, Yeah, are you? Okay. That's interesting.
Above average outfielder, Andrew Vaughn. Well, it turned out that way.
And I mean, I think that this year you're looking at a bigger question. You know, the solution to that injury last year was unexpected, and it happened to work out. Right. This year, you know what the solution's going to be. You do not know if it's going to work out.
Right, and the solution, too, like, it was a little bit more clear that it was in-house. I don't know if it is strictly in-house, the replacement to Lance Lynn. They might go out and try to fill out, you know, get somebody with major league experience as a starter. Before we get into the possible options, Rick Hahn said Lance Lynn had a slight tear tendon by his knee. The Sox estimate he'll be throwing off a mound in 4 to 4 weeks, and then will be need to be built up. Lance Lynn told Darryl Vance Gowan, and I think he just told the reporters today, that it was the same knee that he hurt last year. So, I mean, that's a little bit concerning. Yeah, we have the quote right there. From Daryl. Lance Lynn this morning, you look at what I'm dealing with at the end of last year, it's in the exact same spot. Sounds like it was going to eventually go anyways. Better now than at the end of the season, and I'll be ready for the playoffs. If we play our cards right, we can get back in the middle of the season and make a run. So Lance Lynn has a positive outlook, or trying to be optimistic there, but same knee, little concerning for that fact. But let's talk about the rotation, how they're going to build it up. In Detroit, Giolito is going to be their opening day starter. Cease is going to follow him. Kopech on the third day. We've talked about what's going to happen in that home opener before. We've thrown in the fact that Dallas Keuchel is in this rotation. Right now, though, Lopez may need to step up. Vince Velasquez may need to step up. Who do you think is going to make the first five starts for the White Sox this season? Obviously, the first three are filled out for you, but you know, let's take it through the first five games.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious, to be honest. I think you're going to see Giolito, Cease, and Kopech in Detroit, like Tony said. You have the off day there, so you put Dallas in the home opener spot on Tuesday, week from tomorrow, and then you can go right back to the three guys you used in Detroit, Giolito, Cease, and Kopech. So you don't need a fifth starter until your eighth game of the season, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't know if we know who that's going to be yet, because I think what they're going to do, and really what Tony did all last year, if you'll remember, whenever there was a question of who was going to make a spot start or something like that, it was always, let's get through these games and we'll figure that out later. And I don't think that is secretive. I don't think that's them, you know, trying to hide anything from their opponents. I think it's, hey, got three games coming up this weekend that they want to win. They've got a guy going in Kopech who they don't know how long he's going to be able to go, or they know already that he's not going to be able to go very long. Maybe they need Reynaldo Lopez. Maybe they need Vince Velasquez this weekend in Detroit. And so it's get through these three games and then figure out what you need 5 days later. Do you throw Velasquez for four innings on Sunday and then say, sit down, you're not pitching again, you'll start on the following Saturday against the Rays? Or is it, you know, they end up not needing him really at all, and they can hold on to him and Lopez and figure out which one is the better one going forward. So I do think that, you know, we get kind of a tendency to be like, oh, they're just not saying what they're going to do. Like, why don't you just tell us who's going to start the game?
I wouldn't know what to do.
I honestly don't think they know yet, and that's not because they're like throwing their hands up being like, oh. I think it's right. They want to see who they need to use in the games that preceded.
And let's look back at opening day last year. Like, Carlos Rodon ended up being their second best pitcher last year, but no one would have said that on opening day last year. I thought that he had the potential to break out and be like their third best pitcher. The fact that he had the year that he did was pretty surprising to most. Maybe Vince Velasquez has a surprising season. Maybe Reynaldo Lopez has a surprising season.
Can I bet on that?
Yeah, you can. I'm gonna go in a different way. So don't worry. I'm not trying to pipe up or hype up Raylo or Vince Velasquez here. But you do have Michael Kopech. Do you try to use a majority of those innings that he has for you this year in this first chunk to try to make it to Lance Lynn? Because then you're getting closer to the trade deadline. You could then fill out the rotation possibly with some starting pitchers that come up to the come up on the trade market.
No, you don't. You do the same program you were having for Michael Kopech. This does not affect that at all, except for him just moving up a start. He needs to be healthy. That's the point of serving two masters. You're trying to have him for the long haul of his career and also help you this year. And while it's a tricky situation, I think they need to stay with the plan that they have. If Michael Kopech on Sunday can only give you four innings, that's what he can give you. And let him build up to his own time, because he did have COVID late in February. You don't need to switch up his plans because you have other people getting hurt. the people who need to change up their plans are the less important people who now become important. Raylo and Vince Velasquez and whoever they bring in from the outside, if they do. I say, like Vinny, that same rotation, Giolito, Cease, Kopech, Keiko, Giolito. That's what you roll with. You do not roll dice with Raylo in that pitch and that start the second home game. You make sure that he's ready for Saturday or Sunday whenever he needs to pitch. And then I think if you're going between those two, there's not a question for me. Ronaldo Lopez is a pitcher that has started for your organization, has shown last year that he's kind of good as a relief pitcher, and maybe he's found something in that relief appearances that he can harness. We don't need him to be a world beater. Just need him to be an innings eater, a guy that's giving up 3 to 4 runs a game, maybe 5 at the most, and getting you through 5.
Yeah, and we've seen Reynaldo have success before as a starter. Back in 2019, April 28th, had 14 strikeouts against Detroit in 6 innings. Complete game back on September 5th against Cleveland in 2019, had 11 strikeouts over 9 innings. Against Miami, July 24th, 8 innings, 10 strikeouts. But the majority of his career, you know, it's been up and down with Reynaldo Lopez. So maybe the Sox would look to add a free agent. Let's look at the free agent lists that are possibly that are currently out there. One name that has been linked to the White Sox already was Johnny Cueto. I believe Michael Hernandez of Univision tweeted out that the White Sox have been in contact with Cueto. Cueto's 35. Last year, he put up a 2 WAR for the Giants. Also on there, Britt Anderson, Matt Harvey, J.A. Happ, Trevor Cahill, Tommy Malone, Mike Fiers, Jose Urena, Cole Hamels, Irvin Santana. Vinny, when looking at that list, any of those names, you know, intrigue you or... Does it seem like, you know, Velasquez, Lopez, Kopech, Cease, Giolito, they kind of got it?
I mean, I don't think any of those names are going to intrigue really anybody, but I think also that's kind of the point. You know what I mean? I mean, look at the point of the season you're in and look at the kind of role that you would be signing one of these guys to play. You know what I mean? I don't think you're going out and saying, all right, Lance Lynn's down for 2 months. We need to wedge another all-star into the starting rotation. No, it's increasing that depth, and maybe you do see a move like that. But I mean, there was a name on that board that I think I've referenced on this podcast before as the type of move that you would expect at this time, and that's Irvin Santana. And I'm not saying that they're going to go get Irvin Santana. I'm saying think back to 2019 when they signed Irvin Santana during spring training. Mm-hmm. It was to serve this kind of role. Uh-oh, something happened in the starting rotation. We got to plug somebody in there. Go with the guy who's done it a bunch, and that kind of thing is what you're going to end up seeing. So, yeah, maybe there's a move to be made, a minor league deal for one of those guys that you put on the screen or somebody else who hasn't been signed yet. But I think in the immediate, it's got to be a guy that you've had in camp, a guy that you know is ready for the season, a guy that you know how they've been working out. I mean, not only did these guys not have to go through the same sort of lockout issues that everybody else went through, then they didn't get to go to a team and get on a program that a team wants them to get on. So to pick up one of these guys and just throw them into a regular season game in a year when you're trying to win the World Series, I think you could argue that there's an even a little bit more certainty to your guys that you already have, even if those guys are by comparison uncertain in the eyes of your fan base and to a lesser degree the team in terms of what you're going to get out of them.
Right, and Herb, we've seen, you see the free agent list there. Vinny mentioned staying inside the organization. You have those free agents, but you also have Jonathan Stever. You have, now I'm blanking on the other guy's name.
Jimmy Lambert,
thank you. Guys who've made spot starts for the Sox in the past. What about Lambert or Stever or any of the free agents on that list?
I would rather go with those guys then go out and look at those players you just listed on the free agent market. Nothing great there, and you probably have to pay those guys veteran minimums. So you already have Stever and Lambert on this team making peanuts in baseball references. If you need to go to them, I would rather go to Stever and Lambert than sign Cueto or Irvin Santana. Urania is the only one I can maybe see because he has something in there. He's relatively young. I think he's 30. But also, you would have to pay him money. He wasn't that great in Detroit last year, so I'm good on those free agents. I know people are clamoring for Cueto. That's a name, and I think this is Vinny's point. Like, it's a name you've heard of.
Right.
It's not the guy that you know. It's not the Cincinnati guy, and it's definitely not the early San Francisco guy. It's more the late San Francisco guy who was not good.
Well, the late San Francisco guy, I think there's some interesting things there if they end up do signing him. But the Irvin Santana thing that you mentioned, they signed him in early 2019. He made 3 starts for the Sox, 13 and a third innings.
So, yeah, it was horrendous.
Yeah, so I mean, any guy that they might sign and bring in might also be horrendous. So, I mean, they might have this same issue come up, you know, at the end of April. The guy that they sign and try to fill that role might be horrible, and this might be an ongoing issue for the entire months of April and May. This is not an easy fix. You just lost a guy that finished third in the AL Central in Cy Young voting last year.
As Vinny was referencing, I'm not opposed to signing one of those guys to a veteran minimum and not counting on them to pitch in the month of April. Sign them. Send them to AAA, get their program ready, and if they are ready and if the White Sox have a need for them because another injury happened or ineffectiveness by either Velasquez or Raylo, then you can put them in like in May to take those innings, but not any of those guys for the stretch drive right now, for April right now. Not at all.
Right, and that's why you saw once the lockout ended, all the big starting pitchers that were still free agents, Kershaw and Rodon, immediately signed and get into a camp. Same with even Vince Velasquez. Signed, immediately got into a camp. These guys might not be ready to go on opening day on April 7th or April 8th if they were to sign and get into a camp right away. Cueto's the only interesting name, in my opinion. Seems like he figured out a couple ways to be effective in San Francisco, and you even look at his expected home runs in different parks. It would only be 22 expected home runs.
Only 22.
But hey, that's less than Dallas Keuchel and Lucas Giolito. Like, I understand, you know, a different pitcher than Lucas Giolito. He's, you know, more strikeouts, and, you know, if you get one off of him, okay. But
22 home runs and 50 innings is not good.
No, it's not. But hey, you know, this is where the White Sox are. And He had a good couple three starts to start last year in April, but then he got injured. So, I mean, that's another thing, too, is, you know, he might be able to be reliable, but, you know, only for three starts. And then he might, you know, break down just because of his age. So, like, Cueto, there's some things maybe left in the tank for him. But, again, you brought up, he might not be up and ready to go until May. So that would be the biggest, you know, issue with signing a free agent. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. I've seen some of the CHGO locker stuff be shipped out to our members, and I am jealous. I'm excited to get my CHGO shirt. I got the CHGO pocket flag shirt. Very excited for that to arrive on my doorstep, and you can be a part of the fun by using and taking advantage of this deal. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. And if you're watching tonight, the national championship game, live college basketball same game parlays are the newest feature at PointsBet. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live same game parlay only with PointsBet. And if you want more, better odds, you can always boost your live same game parlays so you can watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And guys, we mentioned it. We talked about, you know, CHGO being a month old so far. If people want to become a member, allchgo.com is where to go. You get premium access to written content like Vinny and Ryan Herrera and Jared Willis are beat writers for the baseball season. If you're a Sox fan, Vinny has you covered at allchgo.com. Not every article will be free. I think your AJ Pollock one was free, right? But, you know, some of the other stuff like his Lance Lynn article, that's behind a paywall. If you want to get Vinny's thoughts on the Lance Lynn injury, you got to become a member at allchgo.com. And when you sign up, you do get a free shirt. So not only are you going to get that membership and access into the CHGO Lounge, our Discord channel, where people sent in mailbag Monday questions, you'll also be able to get access to that premium written content. So become a member today at allchgo.com. Now, guys, let's get into our next point of discussion. And we've talked about the, you know, the departure, I guess, of Lance Lynn for the next 8 weeks, but we have to welcome somebody in. Zach Collins is now going to Toronto. Reese McGuire is now a Chicago White Sox, and it seems like, and also that's another thing, I keep saying Chicago White Sox. Is that wrong?
I think
that's
it
what
is.
I say.
I think it's wrong.
Yeah. So singular would be S-O-C-K.
Yeah.
That's fine for you?
That's what I roll with, yeah.
So my mom texted me, and she's like, I'm pretty sure this is, and she's like, I'm surprised Vinny, the writer, hasn't, corrected
called you,
you
out on it.
So I'm glad that Vinny and I are on the same page. You don't like it, though.
I'm with your mom. She is right. I mean, she's probably my same age. White Sox is a made-up word. S-O-X is a made-up word. I think it's singular and plural.
Well, and she's like, you know, it's the brand, so it's like, you know, you're not changing the name of the brand.
I say
like,
as soon as you put a sock in the logo,
Yeah.
You are indicating right. that you are named after that thing.
Look at the logo down there. It's a sock. It's, I don't know. But anyways, Zach Collins is no longer a Sax. He is a Blue Jay, and Reese McGuire is now a Sax. So looking at this trade, not too surprising. Makes sense. Struggling top former first rounders in each organization. Just moving. A little change of scenario here, Herb.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like, it's I like when a general manager can admit that he might have made a mistake right here. And not necessarily a mistake. I mean, Zach Collins just didn't develop the way that they saw him developing in the major leagues. He hasn't had a long berth there. I mean, once he was in his window to come up, they pretty much picked up James McCann and they picked up Yasmani Grandal. The writing has been on the wall for a long time with Zach Collins, and they pretty much said he's not going to be the guy here. He has options left, so we can store him in on our AAA or go and get another guy who is more of an ideal backup catcher for the White Sox, can actually catch frame balls, throw out runners. Bat's not there yet, even though as early in his career he was hitting in his brief time. But it's a good trade for the White Sox, I believe, and it's change of scenery for Zach. He probably will not be up there in Toronto because they have two other catchers in front of him. But a nice job in Syracuse can get him promoted, maybe a designated hitter spot eventually.
Right. Well, and Collins was still had options, so he can join the AAA team for Toronto. McGuire out of options, though, so it seems like he might make the 28-man.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and I think it comes down to defense. I mean, talking to Tony at spring training, it was what do you value most in that position? Because, you know, as you know, good the reviews were for Zach at you know, last year in terms of what he had done to improve his defensive game, I think you very easily could still look at the tandem of Zavala and Collins and say, one is a defensive guy, one is an offensive guy. And when Tony says, well, we value the defense, like you said, writing on the wall for Zach maybe a little bit there. But I think McGuire has an even better defensive reputation than Sebi Zavala does. Yeah. And so I think that's what it comes down to. It's going to come down to who can play the best defense, handle the pitching staff on the days when Yaz isn't behind home plate. And, I mean, listen, that's one of the reasons they went out and got Grandal, right? Not just because he is one of the better offensive catchers in the game, but because of what he could do behind the plate. Injury kind of hampered that a little bit last year. But in general, a very good defensive catcher and a guy who has a sterling reputation with his work for the pitchers. Bring in kind of the lighter element of that in McGuire when it comes to the defensive side of things, and the White Sox are going to have what they want.
Yeah, so McGuire is a left-hander as well, hitting-wise, so you'll at least get that familiarity between Collins and McGuire. McGuire, more of a smaller stature guy, and you bring up the defense. Let's just compare last year. There's a stat from Baseball Prospectus called framing runs and framing chances. Both McGuire and Collins had over 3,000 framing chances. Zach Collins was worth -12.4 framing runs.
On good.
Reese McGuire was worth 7.9. I mean, that is a professional catcher right there. And yes, the hitting numbers are very poor. But a guy that I wanted the White Sox to sign as their backup catcher was former Cleveland catcher Roberto Perez, who is usually a below average hitter, but a great defensive catcher. And I think that's what the White Sox need. You need somebody who, you know, this lineup is great. 1 through 9 when Grandal's in there. And if it's good 1 through 8 and then Reese McGuire's there, I'm fine with that because catcher is one of the least valuable positions in baseball, or at least one of the tougher ones to find a valuable player at. And looking at the lineup right now, you know, yeah, Grandal won't be at fourth if he's not catching. And if he's out of the lineup, you know, maybe he'll be DHing. But if you know, move Garcia or Harrison up to that 8 spot, Vaughn up to the 9 spot, you shift everybody up and then put McGuire 9, I'm fine with that lineup. That looks good on a, you know, every other day or whatever, every other, you know, 2 days whenever Grandal needs a break.
And I can see that happening. You know, some of these pitchers like to have a personal catcher. And if a guy like Reese McGuire is framing at the rate that he is last year, maybe a Giolito who had a personal catcher in James McCann back in the day would have him every fifth start, and you can have Reese McGuire batting 9th for the White Sox and don't even care about his batting. Like you said, backup catcher. If you're not hitting, I don't care. Just make sure you catch the balls in front of you.
Right.
If they're thrown to you from the outfield, catch those, tag the runner out, and get us some outs every once in a while. There's somebody who put like a framing video of Zach Collins
Jay out. Jay Cuda.
And I don't know if it was necessarily fair to Zach Collins because some of these pitchers were just on the ground. But, yes, he doesn't have the art of, you know, low ball, picking going from the bottom to the top of the stone and stealing a strike for your player. you see that from Yasmani Grandal every once in a while. I don't know why they didn't translate with both Jerry Nairn and Yasmani Grandal in White Sox camp last year for Zach Collins. It just didn't never happen. Maybe he's just thinking about his offensive game, but Reese McGuire is going to be really solid for the White Sox, and I can see him being a contributor to a championship team.
Well, and also just comparing like their catching stances. Like, I was never a catcher because I'm a left-hander, so like they're just not putting a lefty back there. But it just feels like the stances were a little bit different. Collins was had a knee on the ground, and it just wasn't as, it didn't seem as sturdy in a way, where you look at McGuire and every pitch was just like he had great body and arm control. And it just felt like his stance led to him being that elite framer. And he was a better framer last year than Grandal. So, I mean, that's the kind of mix and match that I like.
And the defense will get too?
Yeah, he's a smaller stature. I mean, Collins is like 6'3", 6'4", or
and
something like that.
And I think that, it shouldn't count because ump should be...
6 feet, 215 for McGuire, 6'3", 220 for Collins.
Yeah, ump should know, like, the strike zone. But when you're obscured by the catcher, sometimes you don't get the balls called or the strikes called that you need to. So 6 foot, a guy who's a little smaller, a little diminutive, and I saw he, like, gets real low.
Compact.
Gets real compact. And,
yeah.
And steal strikes for his pitcher. That's all you want. For a pitcher, I'm sure Dallas Keuchel will love him. I'm sure Lucas will love him, and all the guys on the staff will love him because he seems like a really good defensive catcher.
The Zach Collins experience wasn't super rich. He didn't get a lot of opportunities with the White Sox. A little bit in 2019, and he had a really good first moment. His first hit was a home run in Texas. A couple of good memories from Zach Collins. But when looking at, the big picture, I think people remember the no-hitter, catching Carlos Rodon's no-hitter. Was there good momentum for him last year, did you feel, with the Sox? Or did you feel that, this might be just the right time for the Sox to cut bait?
Yeah, I think, obviously when you're a top 10 draft pick, the expectations are always going to be high. And I think the story with Collins was the same from the day he was drafted to the day he was traded. It's like, when is the defense going to catch up to the bat kind of thing. I do think it very much came down to what you said, which was the White Sox decided to jump his career, basically, and say, obviously James McCann was signed as a bridge guy, mm-hmm. and then James McCann turned into James McCann. That's no fault of Zach Collins's. But then the White Sox said, listen, we're gonna put our eggs in the Yasmani Grandal basket. The way Yasmani Grandal has produced for the White Sox, that has been a positive decision. But it meant that Zach Collins was never going to get the playing time that he might have gotten otherwise. So, you wish Zach Collins all the best of luck because, he did everything that he needed to do in terms of working on stuff. Herb, you brought up, working with Jerry Nairn and what sort of work he was doing in camp. By all accounts, he was working his ass off, and really did make some improvements. Granted, maybe that's from a spot much low, a lower spot to get to a more middling spot maybe. But, he earned a lot of really positive reviews for the improvements that he made last year. Just never going to be enough to jump Yasmani Grandal on the depth chart. And I think we saw last year the White Sox make a decision at one point in the year saying, listen, we're going to go with Sebby Zavala as the backup. And, to borrow what you just said, writing on the wall.
And you mentioned Sebby. I mean, he had some interesting moments last year, too. One of the home runs hit in Field of Dreams was Sebby Zavala. He scored one of the game-tying run in that game as well. He had the three-homer game.
And still, White Sox ended up losing. Managed to hit, what, .182 or something
I think,
like that?
I think most of his hits were home runs. But looking at Sebby, is the writing showing that he might be DFA'd now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think you make a trade to go get Reese McGuire to only DFA him or give him a tryout for a few days as part of a three-catcher thing on a 28-man roster. Like, I think you go trade him to be your backup catcher, and so that's who I would expect to be the backup guy on opening day. Sebby Zavala probably is going to get DFA'd to make room on that 40-man just because he's out of options. He can wind up staying with the White Sox, though. It doesn't mean it's the end of his time here just yet. But maybe there's a team out there that looks at, the defensive reputation that he's had over his time in the minor leagues and says, oh, yeah, we'll give that a go as our backup catcher. Why not?
Yeah, it's possible. And looking at McGuire, if he is going to be on the roster, he also hasn't had a ton of opportunities in Toronto, only 400 total plate appearances in his career, was a top pick, top first round pick for the Pirates back in, I think, 2014, was a 14th overall pick. Never really got a ton of time in Toronto, but it seems like he's been able to cut down his K rate a little bit. So, if he's around, a 17% K rate with a, 7% walk rate, maybe he'll run into a couple and he'll be serviceable as a backup catcher. But I think that was one of the biggest needs for the Sox this offseason. They didn't address it and then they finally addressed it. So really the only need that they didn't address, I would say, would be starting pitcher.
And they tried. And they did reportedly try. They tried. And you saw Ken Rosenthal say they were trying to get in on Sean Manaea before he was dealt to the Padres, you know, and that they couldn't kind of really match the package that the Padres sent back. And listen, we talked about it, right? We talked about this is a farm system that has been ranked last place. You know, it's a farm system that all the exciting names that have been through it in the last few years are now on that major league roster. And, you know, if you it makes it difficult to put a package together for a big name guy. There's probably a lot of fans out there saying, oh, they should go get Frankie Montas from the A's. I'm sure they would love to.
Opening day starter.
I'm sure they would love to. But the A, I mean, you got one more year of control on Frankie Montas, who just finished sixth in the Cy Young vote, than you do on Manaea, if you're Oakland. So I would imagine they're going to be asking for a pretty nice haul back for him. And, you know, the White Sox just might not be able to put it together. You look at their top three trade chips as of what? Friday, let's say, after Kimbrel was dealt. Yeah. Vaughn,
yep.
Sheets, Crochet. Crochet's going to have Tommy John surgery. And listen, guys, Vaughn and Sheets are big parts of this team. I mean, I don't think the White Sox want to part with those guys. Listen, they might be forced to, you know, come the trade deadline, but I think they see them as their DH, you know, a little bit of right field mix right now. And I really think that they see them as playing major roles for this team.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in just a second, how they're going to rotate Collins and Vaughn and all these outfielders in, because we have a Mailbag Monday coming up. But before we get to that, I got to let you know, if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. Guys, today is in the national championship game, so you guys got to pick.
Kansas -4 sounds right.
All right. And you gotta, who do you think is going to win? You picked Villanova, so they're out.
I did, but, you know, that was fun when we when I got that text message that said, hey, we need your Final Four pick, and I'm like, Final Four of what? Like, baseball season hasn't even started yet. No, so I picked whatever, you know, whatever team I wasn't sick of yet, and so right. I guess I went with Villanova. I can't pick Kansas. I'm a Mizzou guy. Come on.
All right, so yeah. Go North Carolina for Vinny. A very resounding go North Carolina from Vinny. And I'm on North Carolina, too, so if you want to take advantage of that offer and place a bet tonight on the game, feel free. And today, or in case you missed it, online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook, easier than ever, so you could start living your bet life in seconds. Again, use code CHGO, and you will get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Making a first-time deposit of $50 or more, you'll also get a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, let's get into the Monday mailbag. If you want to send your questions into our Monday mailbag, we have a Discord, the CHGO Lounge. If you are a member, sign up. Or if you're not a member, sign up. allchgo.com. That's where you could send in your questions. Do you have something you want to... it looked like you were looking at me.
Oh, no.
You're all good. I don't even know if you had something you want to interject. Oh, that's I love all. You too, Herb. I love you too. Yes. Let's go into the mailbag. We got one big question first, and that's from Schlesh Poppy in our Discord.
Good job.
No problem. I think that's
how yeah, you said it right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Question I have for Mailbag Monday is tied to how y'all think the Sox should navigate our now deep outfield platoon. Do they establish some sort of corner outfield and DH rotation with Pollock, Aloy, Vaughn, Sheets, Engel, and Garcia? Are they better off sending Andrew Vaughn to AAA to get daily work, since we'd likely have Sheets hit righties and don't want Andrew Vaughn to rust away on the bench? Or other? Thanks in advance. Really loving all of your work. Thank you, Schlesh Poppy, for being a CHGO member and sending in your questions into the Discord. Let's start off there. You mentioned Sheets and Vaughn being the most valuable trade pieces for the Sox. Would they really send him to AAA, Andrew Vaughn? Because it does seem like a crowded outfield, you know, the way that Schlesh Poppy phrases this question.
Yeah, I mean, I think you will see, listen, left field and center field are set, right? Aloy Jimenez and Luis Robert in center, that's not changing. That will only change when, you know, guys need a couple days off, something like that. Though I did believe we saw a humorous quote from Tony La Russa, you know, tweeted out over the weekend that, you know, Aloy's position in the field is going to depend on his batting average or something like that. So that's funny.
If he hits 300, he can play left field. If he hits anything below, he'll be DHing, I think.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, and then I do think that AJ Pollock's going to see the vast majority of the playing time in right field. I don't think you go get him without that being your intention. I think the good news all along was that the in terms of playing time for all these guys is that the DH position was open. They didn't have, you know, an Edwin Encarnacion type who was going to be installed at that position every single day, and that can kind of be a mix and match kind of area. I mean, I think Andrew Vaughn will get the majority of the at bats there just because he is a guy whose bat continues to evolve. I don't think those splits are going to stay as dramatic as they were last year. You know, Sean, you always say you take Andrew Vaughn, you take Evan Sheets, you add them together, and you got a hell of a hitter.
Right.
Well, I think the idea in the White Sox mind is that they want to have two really good hitters in those guys that can hit both hands of pitcher. And I even talked to Gavin Sheets about this a little bit down in Arizona, and he said, yeah, it's just repetition, man. We get more chances against the other hand of pitcher, we're going to be just fine. And that's athlete confidence, obviously.
Right.
But I mean, I do think that those two guys are going to continue to grow, and you can't expect those numbers to be, you know what, that's what these guys are for their career. I think you're going to see a lot of Andrew Vaughn in the DH spot the way we thought he was going to be last year before Aloy got hurt. And I think you're going to see, though, Tony use that DH spot as a very rotating thing. Yasmani Grandal, who you mentioned earlier, are going to get plenty of looks there. Occasionally you'll see Jose Abreu there when they want to get him off his feet. And a guy like Adam Engel, you can't forget about Adam Engel. He's going to get some starts in the outfield. That's the way a baseball season works. You know what I mean? It's not 162 starts for three guys and that's it. So, expect to see Angle, expect to see Leury. Yeah, you'll see Vaughn out there a bit, but I do think that AJ Pollock is going to get the vast majority of the playing time in right field.
Yeah, and looking at back on March 30th, La Russa said he described the DH spot as a mix that will be often used to give regulars a half day off. He mentioned Grandal, but he also mentioned a scenario where Tim Anderson could DH and Leury Garcia might play shortstop. I do have a lot of concerns about that, not too much because, you know, I mean, those guys do have their positions, but I do think limiting Sheets and Vaughn's growth potential is something the Sox can't do. I mean, Andrew Vaughn last year through June to August was one of the best hitters in the major leagues, like a top 40 hitter. So the fact that now I feel like he kind of has a spot carved out for him, Herb, him and Sheets, at least, you know, with a lefty-righty platoon, Sheets might get more starts just because there's more right-handers in the major leagues. But I do worry that, you know, maybe the Sox might not give Vaughn enough run or enough run as he should, because, you know, these are very, very important at bats for somebody who only had, you know, 55 games played in the minors.
And I think the White Sox see Vaughn as the higher prospect, the guy with the higher ceiling. So yes, there are more right-handers in the league than left-handers. I could see if we're doing a split, like a 65-35 split, when there's a right-hander out there and those are Vaughn's at bats, because they want to get him out there. Yes, they'll get the at-bats for Sheets when they can, pinch hits, sometimes starting a designated hitter. But I think if it comes down to it, it's not straight. There's a right-hander on the bump, it's Sheets time. There's a left-hander on the bump, it's Vaughn time. Now, I think when it's a left-hander on the bump, Vaughn will get majority of those starts. But there's a chance that Vaughn starts more games versus right-handers at designated hitter than Sheets does, just because they think he's a hitter that's going to be at the top of the league, and you're going to have to hit those guys eventually if you're going to be an everyday player. As far as, I think he said, send him down to AAA. No, Vaughn is a Major League Baseball player. He's shown you that last year, and he's going to help the White Sox this year. Somebody pointed out, I feel sorry for Mike Rodolfo.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think if they do it the way I am imagining, he's probably going to make the team of the 28-man roster, but probably will not get a lot of run. I mean, who else are they going to put in there? I mean, Danny Mendick's probably making the team.
Mendick seems to be making the team per Fegan. It also seems like, who is the other person that he mentioned?
Bennett Sousa, probably.
Yeah, Bennett Sousa was going to make the team. Yeah. So it really feels like Adolfo's gone, if we're being honest. I don't think there's a spot for him on this roster.
I think they keep him on the team and then have some more chances for them to find a trade partner, give him some major league at-bats with the team. They picked him second overall in the signings back when he got him. I find it very hard for Rick Hahn to say, after all this and the progress that Mike Rodolfo has shown through spring training and from the body he had when he was drafted to the body he has now, not to just say, hey, man, you're not going to be starting on this team, but we'll get you an occasional hits every once in a while, and we'll try to find you a trade partner that you can go out and get 100-plus games in the major leagues. Because, yes, you're blocked here, and maybe you're not ready for the major leagues, but we have no more options, and just DFAing you probably won't work because somebody's definitely going to pick you up.
But here's the thing. How do you get him those at bats? And I think that ties back to the question that the commenter asked, which is like, you're already juggling, you know, Pollock, Vaughn, Sheets, Angle, right? Those guys are on the depth chart ahead of Mike or Rodolfo.
Yes.
You know, no matter how big of a fan you are of Mike's wonderful spring that we've just had here, those guys are on the depth chart ahead of him. Mm-hmm. You're going to take playing time away from Adam Angle because, you know, you're trying to get something for Mike or Rodolfo, you know what I mean? Like doesn't the spring accomplish what you were just talking about?
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think of like how hard it was for Rick to pull the trigger on the Zach Collins trade. It's his guy. He picked him. You know, GMs are sometimes very stubborn. Like, I like this guy. I like him for a reason, and I think he's going to break out eventually. I know he knows that Mike Rodolfo is not long for this team, if he even is past Friday. I don't think so. I mean, he might not be. But it's going to be hard for Rick Hahn to say, all right, you're just released, because he knows. I'm sure that you guys agree with me. Well, if he gets DFA'd, he's getting picked up.
Yeah.
Now, the same can't be said about Sebi Zavala. I think you can't just, like, DFA and stash Mike Rodolfo. I would love to, because I think that he has a major league future, kind of like a Franmil Reyes light.
Yeah, the issue is just options again. And you mentioned, you know, wanting to carry 15 pitchers because of this Lance Lynn thing. You carry 15 pitchers, the 13 batters are pretty clear and simple. You have Abreu, Grandal, Maguire, Harrison, Garcia, apparently Mendick, Moncada, Vaughn, Sheets, Robert, Aloy, Engel, Pollock. That's your 13.
Well, T.A.
Well, I left T.A. because of the suspension.
I think he stays on the active, but I'm not sure.
Does he?
Yeah. Well, I did a lot of Googling, and it was inconclusive.
Well, then, but that would knock out Mendick. So then, you know, but like,
I'm not sure it does.
Well, if they carry 13 hitters.
Only if they carry 13. But
if they carry
13
hitters, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, if they carry 14, though, then that's Anderson. I mean, like, so it really doesn't feel like there's a spot for Sebi. It doesn't feel like there's a spot for Adolfo. If they're going to carry 15 pitchers, it feels like they might have to survive April. So I think that the DH spot should be clearly cut out for Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Sheets. It feels like left field's cut out for Eloy. Center field is for Robert. Right field's going to be a mix of Engel and Pollock. And then, you know, when guys need day off, you know, maybe you'll see Andrew Vaughn in left field. Maybe you'll see Leury Garcia in right. Maybe you'll see Adam Engel in center field. Like that feels like the major rotation. But I think like for the first three games of a series or the first three games of opening day, you'll see Aloy, Robert, Pollock.
It's a good problem to have. Offense is no problem at all. I think the White Sox are going to hit a lot and they're going to hit these teams violently.
Yeah.
We might have to win games 10-8, but win goes in the left column.
The final question I want to bring up is the Vaughn to AAA thing. I mean, if you are really concerned about Adolfo or you want to carry three catchers or something like that, you need Mendick because of the Anderson suspension. Vaughn does have options, and he obviously has the injury that he's still coming back from. He hasn't returned just yet. Would you entertain that at all, Herb?
No, not at all. Not for one second. Once Andrew Vaughn is ready to play, he's a major leaguer. They brought him up from single A to the majors because they knew he could make that leap. And they don't like to do the thing where you're on the major league squad and then you get sent down. Like, you're ready to stay on the major league squad. And I think Andrew Vaughn, like, the numbers you've shown for the full season, not impressive. But you were just talking about June to August. The guy was a hitter. We saw what we saw. And we were like, and that's why when we're talking about the Oakland trade, I'm sure they asked for Sheets and or Vaughn and or Colson Montgomery. And the White Sox, like, hell no. Right. Go and talk to San Diego. We'll talk to you later, because they really believe in Andrew Vaughn's future. Why shouldn't you?
Yeah.
The man has shown the jump from single A to major leagues in his year last year. He's a major league baseball player. I would not be surprised if Andrew Vaughn this year hit 25 home runs.
I wouldn't be surprised
not
either.
At all.
And I know I can give all the stats I want in the world, but there's also a quote from Darren Vince Gowan, who asked Paul Konerko what he likes about Vaughn's swing. He said his path, he has that leg kick, which is different in terms of he has more has a bigger move to get ready. He is obviously in time with it and pulls it off. But once everything is kind of down, his path and his swing and what he's trying to do, and there are other guys in there, it's the big leagues, but at such an early age, to have the mannerisms of that seasoned hitter is what sticks out. You see guys that have it, but he's a young guy who doesn't have a whole lot of reps under his belt that already has a professional hitter vibe. He does have that professional hitter vibe, Konerko says it took him like 20 years to even sniff that. So it always sticks out when you see a guy who hasn't been around that has it. And you talk about having it when healthy. Rookie since 1995, who in their first 105 career games had 15 home runs, 20-plus doubles, and 30 walks. You know, it's a list of Hall of Famers and, like, Ike Davis. And Andrew Vaughn has the lowest.
Oh, God.
And
Andrew Vaughn, that?
Well, but it's the truth.
Keep the Hall of Famers. Keep the other
but,
guy
but
out.
But, no, it's like there is a mix of, like, Jody Garut, but it's also, like, you know, Evan Longoria, Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Jose Abreu, Albert Pujols, and all of those guys have at-bats, like, you know, over 400 at-bats. Andrew Vaughn has the lowest amount of at-bats, putting up 15 home runs, 20 doubles, and 30 walks. And then also last year through April 19th, where I thought he got hurt, his last home run, last extra base hit, he had a weighted runs created plus of 195 versus left-handers, which was top five in baseball. That is ridiculous.
And by the way, it's Willibrook's finest Jody Garrett.
Yeah. Chicagoland zone.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Cleveland, shout out to Jerry. Cleveland Indian.
Garrett. Briefly a Cub, Garrett. I believe. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember him.
you should have. He was killing the White Sox.
Well, I don't remember him. And
for
then,
a brief time.
From June 15th to August 19th, Vaughn had a weighted runs created plus of 124 versus right-handers, which is, you know, that's above average. That is, you know, what Michael Conforto was doing for his career against just any type of handedness. I mean, Andrew Vaughn, I think, you know, even when you get that high of praise from Paul Konerko, it would be stupid to not have him on the roster getting as many at-bats as possible. So that's why I think he's wearing 25. That's why, you know, he met with Jim Thome last year for spring training to get ready for this position. It really feels, you know, tailor-made for Andrew Vaughn to take over at DH, and I know you're opposed to sending him down, too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we talk about Lance Lynn being a problem, or the Lance Lynn injury being such a problem, because these games in April and May count just as much as they do in August and September. You're hurting your team if you take Andrew Vaughn off the roster. I mean, he's one of your nine best hitters, and you want him in the lineup every single day. I mean, you read the quote from Konerko there. I talked to Jim Thome last year about Andrew Vaughn, and the praise was equal, if not higher, just because, you know, Jim Thome is a gregarious fellow. So, you know, he's going to rave about whatever you talk to him about, I'm sure. But no, he had nothing but great things to say about Vaughn, and it really reflected as a guy who is technically a member, not technically, he just is a member of the organization, a member of the front office. He is, you know, it was very reflective of the way that the team feels about Andrew Vaughn, and I think you could basically chart with all the moves they made and all the decisions they've made over the last two or three years, the future that they have projected for this guy, and that future is now, because he is an everyday part of this major league team.
And that's exciting. I think Sox fans should be excited about that. I know there was a couple conversations about sending him down to AAA, but I think that would be a huge mistake, and it feels like we all think that as well. Let's move into our next question here on the Monday Mailbag. We tried to answer it last week, but the biggest foe for the Sox in the AL Central. We went through our season previews Monday through Thursday. We never answered the question, though, who the White Sox biggest foe will be in the division in 2022. We'll start with Herb. That weird-ass Minnesota Twins team, or?
No, just because their pitching staff isn't round into shape.
Weird-ass Minnesota
Detroit Tigers. Their offense we've spoke about, I mean, getting a rookie Torkelson going in there, the only problem, they just had Riley Green get hurt, so he probably will not be making his major league debut right now, but Javi Baez, Jonas Haas out there, even though he's 1,000, Miguel Cabrera could put a couple hits together. Jonathan Scope. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. They have some hitters in their lineup. And not even talking about Tucker Barnhart, who's behind the plate now. Tigers have a nice starting lineup. And their rotation, those young pitchers, Tarik Skubal, we talked about Casey Mize. They have people, and at the top of that rotation is Eduardo Rodriguez. They have really good, solid, young players who are highly thought of. So, yes, they gave us troubles last year. I know Kansas City was the only team that beat us in the division as far as head-to-head. I see a tough game on Friday, a tough game on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be the first place or second place team at the end of the year will be a preview on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday up in Detroit when Vinny's going to be there live.
Yeah, should be exciting.
Well, I'll tell you what, Saturday going to be no contest because Dylan Cease, he owns the Detroit Tigers. That's historic.
I thought it was the Illiges. I thought it was the Illiges that owned them. But Vinny, I mean, no, it's a Dylan.
Check the Wikipedia page. I'm sure at the end of Saturday's game, it'll be up there. But no, I think, listen, I picked the Twins to finish second last week when we broke all the teams down. I don't think anybody in this division can touch the White Sox from an all-around standpoint. That being said, this is baseball, and teams in your division give you headaches all the time. You know what I mean? Nobody's going 19-0 against a team that they are better than. The Royals are going to give the White Sox headache because that's what the Royals do all the time. Cleveland's going to have a few days when their starting pitchers shut down the White Sox lineup. Minnesota is going to get a bunch of hits off of some White Sox pitchers at times throughout the year. And listen, the Tigers, they're going to start being a problem this year. They're going to start really being a problem in the years that follow. So when you talk about this division, you can pick the White Sox to win by 10 games, mm-hmm. and there are going to be nights when you're looking at one of those other teams just irritating the hell out of every White Sox fan because they're dinking and dunking all over the place or something, or, you know, Shane Bieber's throwing a beautiful game against the White Sox, something like that. I do think over the course of the season, it'll probably be the Twins to answer this question just because of what that lineup can do. Herb, you brought up, you know, the realities facing the White Sox pitching staff right now. Maybe there's going to be a lot of 10-8 games. When you get in a 10-8 game, you could lose a 10-8 game too, certainly, especially against a lineup like Minnesota's. So I don't think anybody on paper in this division can touch the White Sox from an all-around standpoint. But that being said, it does not mean it's going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah, you know, I would have said the same thing before the Lance Lynn injury and before the Crochet injury. And the A.J. Pollock trade, the Reese McGuire trade, I think they have improved their lineup with those two moves. Absolutely. But
big Reese McGuire fan, Sean Anderson.
I don't know about big Reese McGuire fan, just more of a fan of him than Zach Collins and Sebi Zavala.
He won't be bringing dancing for dubs.
No, he will not be. And hopefully there's not too many dubs he's dancing for up in Toronto. But the Sox on Fangraphs right now, they are projected to have the only starter with an ERA above 5. That is Vince Velasquez, and obviously they still have, you know, ways around that. But, I mean, is it foreseeable the Sox maybe fall back in April and May and maybe they're not leading the division early on? Can either of these teams get off to hot starts and maybe the Sox fall back a little bit in the AL Central?
A hot start is certainly possible. You know what I mean? I think if we're still talking about that scenario that you set up in May,
right,
things have gone unexpectedly. But my counter to you would just be like, who's going to do that? Like, you're saying, like, oh, no, I'm scared of Vince Velasquez. Like, don't the Twins have 4 Vince Velasquezes in their rotation?
Yeah, I mean, in a way. Like, yeah.
They have a lot of question marks. Yeah, why I will not pick them.
Sonny Gray's pretty decent, but Bundy, Archer, pretty big question marks. Yeah. Ober and Ryan, I'll give them a little bit of slack just because they are younger. But, I mean, those younger guys, they might have confidence of, like, hey, you know, I'm here on a major league team. I'm in the starting rotation. Let's go. I mean,
or they got to go through that 1-9 we just showed there and like, what the is going on?
Maybe that's the thing.
Do they ever stop? Oh, yeah, I get Reese McGuire.
So is it,
and then Tim again.
Is it fair to say that, let's say, Cease and Giolito were the last two pitchers to go and you have to face Kopech, Velasquez, and Keuchel, like, right up against the Twins or something? Like, I don't know if I favor the Sox, or do you think
you got to look at the whole roster. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, obviously we can sit here and say that rotation's now a question mark now, and that rotation has some problems in it and stuff like that. But guess what? They still got to send Dylan Bundy to try and get through, you know, Robert Abreu, Aloy, and Moncada. You know, I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah. When's the Dylan Bundy game against the Sox going to happen? 7 innings, 3 hits, walks, 10 Ks.
He was great on Married with Children.
Al Bundy? Who's Dylan?
Never mind. They faced him last year, too, I think, in that first series. And Dylan Bundy pitched well for the Angels, and then he became Dylan Bundy again. I'm not afraid of the Minnesota Twins. There's nobody on that pitching staff, including Sonny Gray.
I think Sonny Gray
that can shut you. You're like, oh, man, Sonny Gray's going to the bump today. Runs are going to be at a premium. Like, they are, but this White
right,
Sox
but
team...
like, Dallas Keuchel is on the mound. Runs are going to be at a premium. Like, I mean, I don't know. You could probably say that for
roll dice on the White Sox
rotation right now.
Hitting in their lineup versus Sonny Gray than the bad pitching that the White Sox starters will be presenting for the first couple months on the back end. Yeah, I mean, I'm not scared of the Twins. And maybe that's my hatred talking.
And I just think the Twins have prospect pool that they can dive into. The fact that they went out and got That's fair. Yeah, they could have gotten Sean Manaea. They could have gotten Frankie Montas. You're not wrong.
A bunch of people on the Padres right now.
Maybe I'm misjudging this, but also AJ Preller is known as like the most aggressive GM in Major
There's
League. So
18
like,
starting pitchers on the Padres. If you want one of them, they will approve your starting rotation.
Dylan Bundy game last year against the Sox at April 1st, 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned, 1 walk, six
That's
strikeouts.
A solid outing by him.
Yeah, that is.
I think the White Sox lost that game.
All right, I think that the Twins and Tigers, I think that we've pretty fairly narrowed it down to those being the biggest foe. Do you think the Sox finish with a losing record against any team this year in the AL Central?
If they do, it would be like last year when it's like, how the hell did they have a losing record against the Royals? It would be something like that. Like they are, if you're asking me like to do on paper a preseason prediction, no, because they're better than all of those teams.
Right.
But like I said, you could see something like that happening just because baseball's weird.
10-9 against Cleveland, 12-7 against Detroit, 9-10 against Kansas City, and then 13-6 against Minnesota last year. Minnesota, they outscored them 123-71 last year. Outscored Kansas City 72-71, Cleveland 81-74, and Detroit 106-71. So they outscored every team in the AL Central.
And recall that
didn't have a winning record
going into last year. Minnesota was the reigning champs, and they was not thought to be the White Sox and the Minnesota Twins going head-to-head for the AL Central in 2021. Had injuries. Byron Buxton, of course, got hurt for a long period of time. Minnesota Twins, finished in fourth or fifth place.
Right.
We might have a same scenario this year where, you know, we're expecting the Minnesota Twins to compete and they fall off. Or I'm expecting the Tigers to compete and the rookies are not ready to play. And Eduardo Rodriguez isn't the top of the rotation timber anymore.
If the Twins make more additions to their rotation, they're the biggest foe. I think if they stay pat, though, they'll probably end up trading Correa at the deadline. I'll say the Tigers end up being the biggest foe. And I think, you know, if injuries happen, maybe the Tigers can take this division because this Lance Lynn one is a big one. If he's not able to come back, you know, you have Giolito. It's not a given certainty that Cease is going to be what he was at the back end of last season. And then, you know, you got more question marks with how much Kopech can go. You know, what Keuchel will be, and can Vince Velasquez or Ronaldo Lopez, you know, keep the rotation afloat? I don't know. There's a lot of questions with the Sox. This Lance Lynn injury is a big one, and we'll be covering it, all throughout the whole entire season. So stick with us here on the CHGO White Sox podcast.
Only 8 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, only 8 weeks. But, like, you know, we're going to be here, you know, in May. We're going to be here in June,
yeah,
July, August.
It might be a blessing in disguise. You get a fresh Lance Lynn coming back for June.
He's 35.
And he's good to go for June until late October.
Yeah, hopefully he can come back from the knee injury. I just don't know what it's like to recover from a knee injury. I don't know what it's like, especially at 35, what that recovery process will be like for him. And the fact that...
Real humble brag there that you're 24 years old, by the way.
You. He's
real
35 humble. Years old.
But, you know,
I don't know what it's like to be 35 years old.
I don't know what it's like to be 35.
My bones just hurting every day.
Well, I mean... I don't know. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know what it's like to be a high-end top three AL Cy Young finishing pitcher as well, who is 34 at that time.
You should.
The fact that it's the same knee, too, concerns me. I don't know. I got concerns about this Lance Lynn thing. That's all.
From what I heard in Rick Hahn's press conference, it doesn't seem overly concerned about his recovery, just overly concerned about how long he'll be out. I think Lance Lynn will be fine. He'll come back in June. You'll be up by 3 or 4 games, and then...
Are you guys feeling it, though? Like, we're getting closer and closer to opening day, and now I'm starting to panic about the White Sox. Like,
I've been feeling your negativity all day.
It's not negativity. I mean, I still am very excited for the Sox. I think they'll still win the AL Central.
You have to resign yourself that something, after we close out this show, will happen from this show to tomorrow. And it'll probably be bad. And just resign yourself. Okay, cool. Let it brush off your shoulders. And know that the White Sox... Unless you're talking about the Tigers taking the division, unless every single White Sox who's in the starting rotation is hurt, they're winning this goddamn division.
Yeah,
Sean.
This isn't the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant team quite yet.
Yeah. They're winning the division, and we're cutting off Cyburns.
We'll be able to have Daryl Strawberry on our team at least. So
you just be thankful that Lance Lynn didn't tumble into the Springfield mystery spot.
That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber.
Quality
He's
Simpsons
a CHGO
references.
White Sox beat writer with Quality Simpsons references. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at Ecknerwall23. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. This has been the CHGO White Sox podcast. Thank you to Kevin and Steven for their great job producing, and we will talk to you tomorrow.